Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, we led Waddle's world off with the Antonio Brown news from Shefty, saying that Seattle's in on Brown when he's activated here after week eight. And but he says they're not the only team, and they're not down the road on a contract, but they're a team that's going to pursue him, that has a connection with Russell Wilson and a couple of other guys there, has worked out with Antonio Brown. And then I tweeted out, I said, do you, and we asked, would the Bears be in on him? And this seems like one of those things where the Bears would not be in on him, that they always talk about they don't want bad guys on their team. And I think sometimes taking a chance on a bad guy is okay because they can play football. I mean, it is about football, but like, it's been excessive with him. And hat tip to numerous listeners who mentioned that this happened last week, I believe it was, on Barstool and our good buddy Barstool Big Cat. It's Deion Sanders has Antonio Brown on his cell phone. And Portnoy's there, and so is Big Cat. And this is what went down.
Where are you going to get back on a team or no?
Man, what do you think? We doing this for fun? This ain't for fun. This for real.
The Bears. The Bears could use another receiver.
Nah, with Nick Foles.
Oh, no, they love Nick, dog. No, they love Nick.
I think that's technically tampering by me, too.
Say, the boy said they called Nick on the show Big D. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Boy, what? That's his name. Hey, he's the one.
That's his name.
Those two guys are the ones that called him Nick.
So there you go. He does not. He said, nah, not with Nick Foles. Like, is this just because he doesn't get the ball enough to the primetime guys? But, and that was weird, too. That got, like, the Sun-Times had picked that up a couple of days ago, I saw. And can a guy who has been kicked out of the league for a long time, who couldn't fit with the Raiders, who couldn't fit with the Steelers, who then, after one game, they got rid of in New England because of all the issues, is that a guy who can be a chooser? What do you guys think?
I mean, if he's going to go to... I think he can be, because we've seen it not work with other teams. I don't think he's going to go to some scrub team. I think he's going to go to a team that, you know, he has a chance to win with. I don't think he's worried about... Like, we've seen it. I don't think he's worried about money and financial stuff. Like, because if he was, he wouldn't have screwed up before.
But he did say this is a business, too. You know he's all about the money. I guess he can be a chooser because there's still going to be a market when it comes down to multiple teams. He's not going to want – it sounds like he doesn't want to come here.
I also don't think a bad team is going to go after him, because a team that's already bad doesn't need the extra headache, you know. But a team like the Seahawks with Pete Carroll, they might be willing to put up with more – because of the ability that he brings, and it might, you know, put them over as an offense. They're already a big offense, but their defense has been lacking. So if they can add scoring, then I think they'll look to, as long as he can. And if he's friends with Russell Wilson, it probably makes the most sense.
Like, what team on paper needs him the most? Isn't it? What good team? So eliminate, like you said, the bad teams. He's not going to a bad team. What good team needs him the most? It's got to be the Bears, right? The Bears are the most dire for playmakers. The Bears don't have a running back who makes plays because of their commitment to the run and the offensive line. The Bears have one wide receiver right now who's really consistent. Darnell Mooney has shown well at times, but still, is he at the point where he could be a trustworthy number two? Anthony Miller has completely failed so far. It's his third year already. Like, Seattle's got DK Metcalf. They've got playmaking receivers. They've got 2-3 receivers. You know, Baltimore could use him. Hasn't the Ravens been? Hasn't he worked out with Lamar Jackson in the past?
I believe so.
And I think Hollywood Brown is related in some way to Antonio. Like, it's
what about Tennessee? Yeah, they've got AJ Brown, and who else?
They could use him. So I think there. I guess I answered my own question of Dolly. He can be a chooser.
Yeah, I think there are a few teams that he can pick from.
Green Bay
to pay him. Yeah,
Green Bay probably needs a wide receiver to go with Adams.
Yeah, they definitely do. Yeah, and that would be dangerous. Devontae Adams and him. I get the feeling that Green Bay, like the Bears, don't want to mess around with this sort of thing. Like Seattle with Pete Carroll and being a strong presence and Russell Wilson having the friendship connection, they feel like they can handle the big personality.
No, I think you're right. I think that, you know, when you look at, like, Gruden couldn't handle him, obviously, with the Raiders because there was all that helmet stuff or whatever.
It's and crazy. So I've never seen such a controversy.
I think he fits with Seattle because I think Pete Carroll can kind of rein him in a little bit.
So that brings up this question, and we talked about this briefly on Friday, or on Monday, I'm sorry. And I think you guys as being the two guys for sure who always coined the phrase truthers and didn't believe in Mitch, you never sugarcoated it. Even when we were in improvement mode, you guys were like, he can't play. You don't believe in him. Where are you guys right now then on Nick Foles? Where are Bears fans on Nick Foles? Did Nick Foles win you over I with his post game? Because so far, other than the Atlanta game, he has not won you over with his play as a starter in the three games. I mean, he hasn't been terrible. In stretches, he's been good, but it hasn't been consistently good. Have you been won over by Nick Foles because of what he said and the command and the leadership that he illustrated after the game on Sunday?
Ooh, no. I mean, like, I just need victories. So, like, I don't care what he says. Like, it's cool. It's great. It sounded fun and everything. Like, yeah, he really wants to get it done and they can improve. But I'm not much of a take the quote guy and then run with it. I'm more of a let's see what he does on the field. And I think Nick Foles at this point is exactly who we thought he is. He's a so-so quarterback who understands the offense, can run a professional offense, make some bad throws, make some good throws. But at the end of the day, he's just average at best. And you hope that he catches a heater when the time is right.
What about you, Abdallah? Did that do anything to you?
Well, I mean, look, I think if we go back to the analogies that we were talking about at the beginning of the show with, you know, cuffing season and love life and all that kind of stuff, like, I'm taking this Bears defense home for Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, you know, what are we?
Yeah, you're showing them off at the bar, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm taking them to my company holiday party, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The offense, I don't know. I still need to see more. I think this is who they are, though. I don't think they're going to show you anything different. I think that they'll perform well against bad teams, or they'll just do enough to win. You know, I've been saying that I'm sick of this. I'm sick of Nagy being you. I'm sick of the be you. I'm sick of the this is what I'm going to do, whatever I want to do regardless. This dude brought in Bill Lazor and John DeFilippo and all these other offensive guys, and we still have the same problems that we've had for 2 years.
Don't forget Juan Castillo, the new offensive line coach.
Everybody
who's
on the
change
offense
everything.
Is handpicked, and they were supposed to be there to give Nagy input and to say, hey, this isn't working. This is working. Run the ball more. Do this kind of stuff. And he's still got that dumb BU thing on the end of his playbook. And we still, you know what you are? That's your identity. Your identity is Nagy. Your identity is a guy who's too stubborn to run the ball consistently.
Well, let me give you an example of that. What are the three times that you remember at the end of the game recently where he was like so stubborn that he wanted to do things his way? One was this last game, all right? They have the football. They have a chance at 3rd-and-2, but he's like, I'm going to be aggressive, and I'm going to throw the football. Then there was last week, the week before the Carolina game. Tom Brady, he's got, if you don't pick up the first down, if you run it, there's 30 seconds left for Tom Brady. You know, if you don't run it and it's an incompletion like it was, there's more time for Tom Brady. He chose to throw it. And then the San Diego game. You guys remember the San Diego game? That was when Nagy said, hey, did you watch the Colts game? I had no thought about running it, and I had no thought about passing it. What is then the BU in the end? As much as, quote, he may be aggressive, he's failed. He failed in the Chargers game. Not only did they not move the ball more, they didn't win. They missed the kick, right? They may have won the Tampa game, and they may have won the Carolina game. But what happened in both of those situations? The play failed. It failed trying to go to Allen Robinson both times. Down the field against Tampa, and then here on third and two against Carolina. So what is BU these days? BU, it's a result-oriented business, and BU is him not coming through in the most important situations. So I agree with you where it's with the catchphrase, you could yell it all day long, like it's kind of like how Cap used to yell about Ryan Pace with conviction. I could. Ryan Pace picked Mitch with conviction. He thought he was the next Drew Brees. I'd take a dump in the morning with conviction. That's all that move was. It was a big, giant dump that we're going to look back on for years and years and years and not give a rip that he did it with conviction. Who cares? This is a success or fail league, and you could be aggressive all you want. I'm going to throw it downfield to Allen Robinson. I'm going to be aggressive on third and two and throw it to Allen Robinson. And, hey, did you see the Colts game? I didn't have a thought of running it or passing it. Dude, you went 0 for 3 in your play calls all with the games on the line. You won two of them, but it wasn't because of the decisions you made offensively. You guys know what I'm saying,
yeah,
don't you?
It sits differently, too, if they're scoring 40 points a game and these
of
are the decisions that – then the Bears lose in shootouts, right? Like, I think what also doesn't make a whole lot of sense is that he's the offensive mastermind, BU and all this stuff, and he has virtually nothing to show for it as far as a resume goes as a play caller.
Right. Like, no, he's as inexperienced as most offensive coordinators are in the league.
Right.
Like Eric Bieniemy, who doesn't have a job yet, is more experienced now calling plays than that. Or basically the same, you know. There are so many guys who have done the OC job for years and years and years. Matt did it for 5 or 6 games. What was the question after his 5 or 6 games after the Kansas City run?
Why didn't you run the ball in the wild card game?
Right. Did you have questions about Matt Nagy after his first year as offensive coordinator of the Bears? He was head coach, but he's still the OC. The answer is yes. Did you have it after the second year? The answer is yes. We're in year 3, and we're going here to game 7, and we still have the same damn questions, and he could say it could be you, but the be you may not be who you want to be because the you has failed. You have failed as an OC. I will always separate the head coaching gig. 25-13 is nothing to sneeze at. They were a sub-500 team the year before he got here. Now, Khalil Mack got here, and they won games. He's a culture setter. They never quit on him. You see how easy it is for guys to quit. They're quitting in Dallas already for Mike McCarthy, who's his Super Bowl ring. They don't quit for Matt. Matt's a good head coach. Matt may not be a good offensive coordinator. Actually, the evidence shows you he's a bad offensive coordinator at this point. 312-332-3776. Did Nick Foles win you over with what he said? Because he's been there and done that. And he said it takes time. Are you buying in after what he said? And what do you think of Nagy and the play calling and separating him and the coach? Take all your phone calls and just a little time left to vote on if you want to hear, should we play the banned audio from this radio station that we were not allowed to play for the last year? If you vote yes, and that's the winner, then we will play the audio before Wilbon joins us. That's coming up.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
A lot of hot Bears talk as they get set for the Monday night game against the Rams. Some baseball a little bit later as the World Series, you'll hear here on ESPN 1000, is 1-0 Dodgers at this point. And let's say 15 more minutes to vote on the poll question. Should we play the ESPN 1000 banned audio? Audio that has been previously banned for a little less than a year from being aired on these airwaves. Should we break open the vault? Should we go to the audio? If you vote yes, and if yes is leading the way on the poll question on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie, then we will play it coming up here at 4:30, and Wife or Radio Partner is back again, and we'll do that. So a lot going on today, talking about the Bears. Thanks for listening. In any way that you're listening, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, the newest way. You can watch, you can listen, you can interact. It's great on your computer or the Twitch app. Joe in Edison Park, one of my favorite Chicago neighborhoods. Joe, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on?
Thanks for taking the call. I'm glad you're on the mend.
I appreciate it, Joe. Thank you.
I think you're spot on. I think they're winning now in spite of him, and I wish he would step back from the the coordinator duties, or at least calling the plays, because he nearly cost them. He could have easily cost them two games, and this team is good enough. I'm not saying we have a great and dynamic offense by any means. I hope it gets a little better. Nick Foles, I think, is he's much better than Trubisky in that at least he knows how to, when there's a blitz, he knows how to get rid of the ball. He knows how to hit a receiver, the hot read. He's better at reading defenses. Is he the long-term solution to our quarterback issues? No, but he's an improvement. And I think the way this defense is playing, that'll be just good enough if we do everything else right. And that's what scares me because,
right.
Let's face it, Nagy is inexperienced as a play caller. And his history, like last week and the Buccaneer game and even in the Atlanta game, kills the clock, run the clock down, win the game. That's the – Herm Edwards said it best. You're playing the game to win the game, not prove something by being aggressive. And yes, bust the vault. We should hear those.
Oh, you want to hear it? Are you sure? We could get into trouble though.
Well, I hope you don't get fined, but I'd like to hear it. Let's put it that way.
All right, Joe, stay by your radio. 312-332-3776. You can vote on Twitter. If Matt Nagy was the coach, but he wasn't the play caller, and the Bears' offense has gone 27th, 29th, his first year was 17, but it's gone down since then, we'd be like, he's a good coach, but let's get a new coordinator. Well, he is the coordinator. I'm not firing Matt Nagy, the head coach, but I do think that he is calling plays for his job as the OC, because it's a success failure that we keep saying, well,
they're not going to make a change though. They're not.
You're right. I mean,
they're not going to
do it. There's a difference between them not doing it. And should they, you know what I mean? It doesn't mean that we stop talking about it or stop asking for it.
No, I know what you mean, but he's the head coach, though. He has say in who is – Pace isn't going to go in there and say you're not allowed to call plays anymore.
It's like with Tibbs, okay? I always said it's cool for Tibbs to say to Jimmy Butler, hey, Jimmy, this offseason I want you to work on this, create your own shot. Hey, Joe, I want you to work on, your free throw shooting. It's at 62%. You could do that with the exit interviews with all the players, but then Tibbs never looked himself in the mirror and said, well, I'm playing guys too long in 20-point blowouts. So, Matt Nagy needs to do that too, ask his players to improve, but he's got to improve, and if he can't improve, he needs to give the job to somebody who can. So, Ryan in Woodridge, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ryan?
Thanks for taking the call. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
I want to talk about the Antonio Brown situation. He had no selection on where he wants to go. He's lucky to land a team. Seattle doesn't need a wide receiver. Seattle has Lockett and Metcalf, and the only places that pretty much need a wide receiver is the Bears and Baltimore. So the Bears could use a wide receiver.
Well, I think there's more than just that, Ryan, but it's like what I brought up. Can beggars be choosers? Well, you can be choosers if there's a market. And if Seattle, like Schefter's reporting, is is interested, then they do. They think they need a receiver, whether it's because they know they can't stop a team and they need to continue to outscore them. They need to just do what they can do to get better in general. And Abdallah hit on that one. Someone tweeted me and said Indy could use another receiver. And it's about winning. And there are a lot of these teams who feel like they could finally be the solution and can control him. And because when he's good and when he's focused, he's great, but when he's not focused, he could tear a team apart, and that's when these coaches think that they can be the guy to fix him. So I do think there's a market, and Seattle's one of those teams. JR in Berwyn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, JR?
Yo, what's up, Sylvie? Hey, I just wanted to say, man, I think you sound a little bit like the 40-year-old virgin with your analogy there, man. I mean, what are you saving yourself for? I mean, man, think about it. The Bears,
I was almost him.
Right now,
I was
a hot team, man. I mean, as Bears fans, I mean, you should just have fun right now. I mean, how often? I mean, think about it. As Bears fans, what kind of girls do we actually date, man? We usually get buck tooth, and you know, they're awful. So now we have a hot girl. It's so joy. It has some fun,
but,
man.
Do we have? No. Do we have? Are we looking at hot? Are we really looking? That's what I'm
right
saying.
Right now, yeah. Right now, we're looking at a hot girl. Yeah, we're at the club. She's looking good at the club. Tomorrow morning, with the lights are on, she might be looking different. But right
that's
now,
that's what I'm saying.
That
you've got goggles on, JR. That's my point.
That's
take
fun.
The goggles
I'm
off.
I'm having fun. I want to have fun. What's the problem with having some fun? We don't get to have fun as Bears fans.
No, you should have fun. You should. I'm not telling you that you should watch the games and be upset. I'm just saying that when we're analyzing this team, don't get fooled again like we've been fooled by some of these other teams that couldn't do anything offensively.
I don't think the Bears are. I think we could all agree that the Bears are not marriage material. I think we're all probably realistic. But, I mean, at the same time, man, how often do we have a 5-1 team?
No,
not very often.
No, I think it's like, I think I heard Dan Weider, I think, told me today's the third time since Ditka left that they've started 5-1. And
there
one
you
of the,
go. There
yeah,
you go.
All right, have fun then. Put the goggles on then, JR.
Yeah. Beer time.
There's JR.
Oh, poor JR. He goes home at night. He thinks he's won the lottery. Next morning, he wakes up. His pillowcase is filled with makeup. And just, as she stumbles out.
And there's puke on your floor. Yeah, right, you're like, whoa, geez.
Somehow
what kind
she
of night was it?
Somehow she brought
an Uber.
Yeah, somehow she brought a cat with her. It's singing in her purse, the whole deal. It's just a weird
Uber.
Day.
Get me an Uber.
I'm
right
happy
now.
If the, like, I don't want them staying for breakfast. Mike in Oak Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Sylvie. I wanted to bring up a point, basically kind of the head coach versus the OC.
Right.
Seems like we're all going through the same problem of the Mitch Truthers. We have a good head coach. It's exactly what you want as a head coach. It's a winning culture. They play hard for them. You have a visor guy. White visor guy head coach is great. Orange visor guy, the OC, is going to cost the white visor guy his job because he's too stubborn to change. And for your partner, Mr. Waddle, who makes all of us smarter listening to him with his football analysis, wants to give him the rest of the season, yet he himself admitted that this is a win-now defense, that last year Orange Visor didn't call plays that what limited Mitch could do well, did well by getting him outside the pocket, wants to give him the rest of this season, and then what's going to happen? We have the head coach. We just need the OC.
Right. And that's a problem. And, Mike, that's what the critics don't understand, or the critics of us being critics. People will say, you guys are never happy. I'm happy with the head coach. I don't like our play caller. They just happen to be the same guy. And that's the rub here. And that's, you know, and I don't believe that this is going to be a thing. I'm with Abdallah in the fact where he says, I'm not giving it up during the bye week. I don't think any change will happen during this season. I think the only time we could get that intervention is if he comes to the self-realization that the results aren't good enough for him calling plays for the last 3 years. And he knows that his head coaching life is pinned to a better OC. Lovey knew it. Lovey knew. Say what you want about Lovey. Lovey knew if he couldn't get Rod Marinelli, he was in trouble. Lovey tried to hire his buddy. He basically fired Ron Rivera. He's like, Ron Rivera's getting all this credit. His contract is up. Ron Rivera was the defensive coordinator of the Super Bowl team, and he's getting rid of Ron Rivera in 2006. And why did he do that? It was a dumb decision, but he got all the power because he kept winning. So he gets rid of Ron Rivera. Remember who he names DC, the defensive coordinator? His buddy, Bullet Bob Babich. Bob Babich sucked as a defensive coordinator. He was one and done. After Bob Babich failed, Lovey named himself the defensive coordinator. More badness. Lovey looked in the mirror and he says, I can't do this. I'm doing too much on game day. I got to worry about the offense. I got to worry about challenging plays. I got to worry about my team and the culture. I can't worry about calling defenses. I need my buddy Rod Marinelli here. They finally got the defense in capable hands, and they got back to being a good defense again. Same's going to be true with Nagy. Nagy, I hope, one day realizes I'm a damn good head coach. If I only delegated this a little bit better, I need to be the overseer. I can pipe in on the microphone or the headset every now and then, but I can't be the guy looking on that sheet telling myself that I need to be me, because me calling plays ain't good. 312-332-3776. More of your calls. We're going to get results. I'm going to check the results. Should we play the banned audio from ESPN 1000? Could get us in hot water, but if you voted yes, we play it coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
That's the sound of Cap yelling at me last year when I played his post-Rams comments, like a couple weeks after he made them. I want to give you the background on all this. And you guys voted. We had over 2,000 votes. In a couple of hours, I simply put, as the Chicagoland Toyota Twitter poll, brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers, should we play ESPN 1000's banned audio on today's show? You voted. It was a close vote, but you did vote for yes over no by the tune of 96.7% yes. Nearly 97% voted yes. 3.3% voted no.
Cap and his array of burners.
Wow, I thought he had more burners than that.
Guess not.
Okay.
Probably flipped back and forth. Some of his burners voted yes, and some of his burners voted no.
He forgot now what he was doing.
Yeah.
Cap is a good friend. Cap was with me every step of my journey.
Is that higher percent than do you like money?
Yeah, that is. I think the people voting for the audio to be unbanned is higher than the poll when we tried to get 100%. And we said, do you like money? And like, still people are like, no, it creates too many problems. Divides too many families, you know? Too much tax. It's different stuff. People came, you never could get 97% to agree on anything. In what? On what topic? But the banned audio. So I want to give you, and Black, you could help with this conversation. So this started today, and this came up again today, and you've heard clips of it, but not the whole thing since it's been banned. This was today when Cap then finally came to the realization, again, that Mitch Trubisky not only isn't good, but maybe he's more than not good.
But when you draft someone number two, Mitchell Trubisky, bust.
Oh.
When you pick, if he never gets back on the field.
That breaking news?
I think it is. Points Bet.
Go.
This is breaking news.
Danny?
Powered by Points Bet Sportsbook.
Hold on a second.
On Chicago's home for sports.
Wait a minute.
ESPN Danny. 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We turn now to veteran newsman Dan Zetterman with breaking news on Cap and Jay Hood. Dan?
Gentlemen, thank you for having me. The facts to this story are just coming in. I am now going to send it off to the correspondent on the street, David Emmanuel Kaplan, who can fill us in and give us more. Please, David.
when you draft someone at number two, whether that be our teammate Jay Williams, who was then Jason, and you don't get what you think you signed up for, be it through injury, be it through poor performance, whatever the case may be, that means it's a busted pick. I'm not calling him a bad player. He got hurt. When you trade up at number two from three to two to get the quarterback that you think is the future of your franchise, and if Nick Foles doesn't get hurt, he will never throw another pass in a Bears uniform, most probably, that then means that that pick was a bust.
Gentlemen, what I am gathering from the correspondent on the street is David Emmanuel Kaplan is now admitting that Mitchell Trubisky is a bust. Let's mark this day down on the calendar, October 21st, 2020.
Oh.
We have now a realization that Mitchell Trubisky was a bust. Thank you, David. Back to you, Jonathan.
Hey, it's just called honesty. That's it.
Well, not yet. His career is not over as
a Bear. And I'm sure that little soundbite will be on a loop with the two dudes from Libertyville tonight.
Oh, no.
And that's fine. I'm just being honest here.
Only on for an hour.
When you draft somebody high in the draft, I'm not talking about a fifth rounder doesn't work out. That's not a bust. That's a flyer. It's a lotto ticket.
Well,
when you draft someone at number two and it doesn't work out, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Ray Charles could tell you, if he doesn't get back on the field, it's a busted pick.
But as I pointed out earlier, he was Ray Charles trying to figure out where he is in a room because he didn't realize it. He told people this year that if you're betting against Mitchell Trubisky, he's coming for all of us, and he's got receipts.
Yeah.
So that's why it was so funny.
Absolutely, yeah. How about Jonathan knowing the schedule, too? We're only on for a night tonight. Yes, you're right. Jonathan's right.
Well, he'll never. We lead into Game 2 of the World Series as the Rays try to look to even the series. The Dodgers have a 1-0 lead. In the
Hoodie
series.
Knows where he came from, and yeah. Hoodie spent a lot of time at nights. He was talking about that today during Christmas parties, how he would have to be doing the show
yeah.
while we were all eating Chicago cut down the street.
Would bring him a plate.
We couldn't do network for a couple of hours, so everyone.
Black and Hood, just get in the studio. You guys figure it out. Everyone else have a party.
But so then the point is, and they're playing, the timing is perfect because they're playing the Rams. The Black, you were running the board, and this isn't the first time that actually Cap has admitted that he was wrong and that Mitch Trubisky was not good at football.
And this gets to the banned audio that the poll question, what was it, 97%, 96%?
It's 96.7% with over 2,000 votes.
So the people want the audio. Now, it was only banned by Cap walking around the halls telling us it was banned. No one told me that I couldn't play it except for Cap.
Never told me. I'll click that button.
Yeah, I mean, like any producer here who can just Google or search in the system where the audio is, it's accessible for everyone. And I labeled it clearly so we could all have fun with it.
Right. Let me tell people this, too. We had like a festivity after we played this, after it was banned last year. Cap did not talk to me all night. Cap was pissed. He's probably going to be pissed at me now. Cap, I love you, but you said this on your own show.
Yes, and it actually wasn't the Rams game. It was after the Eagles loss. Remember that Eagles game where the Bears only had 9 yards of offense in the first half? They lose the game last season 22-14 to the Eagles. That game was on November the 3rd. On November the 4th, Monday morning, this is how Cap started his show. He was with Pat Boyle that day, and Sylvie, Pat mentioned it when he was on with you earlier. Cap pushed Pat out of the way. I'm starting my show like this. So this is how the show started on November the 4th after the Bears lost to the Eagles last season.
I owe every single human being, dog, cat, bird, goldfish, and every other creature on God's green earth an apology. Forever leading you to believe Mitchell Trubisky could get it done at quarterback. For believing that this team was going to be really impactful this year in the National Football League. That yesterday was so disgusting and so embarrassing that I don't know what to say other than I was an idiot. I apologize to all of you. I was an idiot forever believing that that guy was going to come in as a raw project and develop into a quality signal caller. We're in year three, folks, and he stinks.
So there you go, Sylvie. November the 4th, last year.
And he banned it himself. That is not allowed to be played on the radio station.
Yeah.
And then after that, he went back on it after apologizing to all of us. Not only did he ban it, but then he went back on the Trubisky train, and he told all of us during the offseason that if you're not on the Trubisky bandwagon now, that he's coming, he's got receipts, and he's coming at all of us.
Dog, bird, cat, goldfish.
Remember, it wasn't going to end well for us.
Yeah, no.
I'm still waiting for that.
Cat, dog, goldfish, bird.
I wish he could come after all of us and that Mitch was great and that we were wrong about Mitch. Nobody roots against Mitch. No one wanted Mitch to fail. We wanted him to be a stud. But we could see. We had eyes. And he was blinded by the pace. Blinded by the pace. And the holiday parody song is... contest is coming up, and I expect
just around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
I expect a band audio.
Dog, bird, goldfish.
I want to hear apologies to animals, and I want to hear a band audio holiday parody.
But the thing is, Sylvie, and to give him credit, give credit where credit is due, okay? To give Cap credit, and we don't do this often.
Cat.
He is right. It did not end well for any of us.
Dog.
Because while the Bears are 5-1, they still don't have a good quarterback. And
oh, that's lame. Don't give him credit for this. That was not his long play.
We are still in quarterback hell.
No, that's crap.
And we will continue to be in quarterback hell.
Goldfish.
It didn't end well for him. It's not going to end well for us. That being said, the Bears win on Monday night. They beat the Rams.
I owe every single human being, dog, cat, bird, goldfish, and every other creature on God's green earth, an apology.
Now, I want an apology tomorrow morning for banning that audio for a year. You own it.
Sylvie, there's more. I got to search through. There's other pieces of audio that were, there's time spent putting it together. And then I was told it was not allowed to be played anymore.
Is Quintana elite?
There's all kinds of things like that in the Cap archives that I was not allowed to play. I'm sorry.
But we love him. And Cap and Jonathan Hood every morning, 7 to 10. The show is outstanding.
Bird.
So tune in. But no audio should be banned. You say it, you own it.
Right.
You say it, you own it. Repeat after me, Cap. You say it.
Dog.
It. All right. We need a caller for my wife, a radio partner. Who made the statement? Was it Waddle, my radio partner, or my beautiful wife? You'll have a chance to win from Swift and Sons coming up next.
Goldfish.
The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. They can get you pre-approved and locked in on the very same day. You can close in less than 30 days. Check them out today, thehomeloanexpert.com.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
It's now time for My Wife or My Radio Partner.
That way. Now, see that? Always smiling. Hi, honey. Judging, watching. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
My Wife.
Does this make me look fat? Did you take out the trash?
Or My Radio Partner.
I look at myself in the mirror and I can't stand what I'm seeing.
It's a little cool today, isn't it? It's a little cool today for golf, isn't it?
My Wife or My Radio Partner.
With Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
That is right. It is back and it's brought to you by our great friends from the Boca Restaurant Group at Swift and Sons American Steakhouse in the West Loop in the gorgeous Fulton Market District. Absolutely awesome. My good friends Kevin Bame and Rob Katz, Restaurateurs of the Year, and their executive chef, who's so good, Chris Pandel. They bring you Chicago Steakhouse with a modern twist. It's absolutely awesome. It's located in the Fulton Market District, and it is open for reservations. And if you choose not to dine in, they also have great takeout and delivery as well. Plus, start thinking about Thanksgiving, which can be purchased on Taco. Go to exploretac.com/Swift and Sons Chicago.
So we'll play for a gift card to Swift and Sons. Let's go to our contestant right now. It's Dave in New Lenox. Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's up? How are you doing, Sylvie?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Have you played before?
No, I have not.
All right, so for those who aren't familiar, we played this for a lot of years, but we just brought it back now. We make three statements. It originally started with Waddles making the statements. He would share the statements, and you would have to guess who made the statement. Was it me or was it his wife? Now we also reverse it. We switch off each and every week. So you, Dave, I will give you three statements. Who made the statement? Was it my wife or my radio partner, Tom Waddle? Now, if my wife made the statement, this is a song you're going to hear.
This old man, he played one, he played two.
There you go. And if my radio partner made the statement, this is what you're going to hear.
Hot dog, hot dog, hot dog. It's a
right, two out of three, and you get the Swift and Sons gift card. You ready to go?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
All right, statement number one. When are we going to lube that thing? When are we going to lube that thing?
Radio partner.
This old man, he
no, it was my wife. it was my wife. Now, we were talking about our treadmill. Did you know that we during the pandemic, because we could not go to a gym, we bought a treadmill. You have to lube up a treadmill every 6 months with treadmill lube. And they send you and you put it underneath the belt and you have to lube it up. And for weeks, we did not do it. And she wanted me to finally be the man of the house and lube up the treadmill.
Well, you better do it.
I did. I did it about 3 weeks ago. So, all right, you're 0 for 1. You need these next two. Statement number two. Why am I obligated to tell you anything? Why am I obligated to tell you anything?
I'm going to go with Waddle on this one.
Abdallah, do you remember when he said this? I actually think he said this on the air.
I feel like he would say this a lot to you. So
he said this to the group, and he said it to you specifically.
Oh, he did?
Right.
I don't remember this.
This is when the horse Hieroglyphics
was running. Yeah.
And you said, Waddle, you're obligated to tell me when Hieroglyphics. And he said on the air, why am I obligated to tell you anything?
Because that's a good man move right there. That's a man move right there.
It's a good person move.
Yeah, because if I was looking at horse racing futures or whatever, or the whatever they call it, and I saw a big 87 or I saw there is a horse named Waddle.
Right.
I remember we called them about it. And if I saw a Waddle related horse, or maybe something named Cara or something like that, I'd be like, right, hey, guess what? You should bet that.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I agree with you, and he came off as whiny. All right, this is it right here, Dave. You get this one, you're going to Swift and Sons, all right?
All righty.
Statement number three. Oh, I've got sources. Never question my sources. Oh, I've got sources. Never question my sources.
I'm going to say wife.
This old man.
Very good. You are a winner, and you're going to Swift and Sons.
Dave puked and rallied there.
Yeah, very good. While talking about the Deerfield drama and was filling me in on everything involved in the community, I said, how do you know all this? The school is being shut down. And she goes, oh, I've got sources. Never question my sources. So she's very well connected. Dave, enjoy Swift and Sons. Let us know how it is. You're going to love it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. There goes Dave in New Lenox. And thank you to Swift and Sons and the Boca Restaurant Group. Check them out today. Every Wednesday, we'll have another round of My Wife or Radio Partner. It's time for Michael Wilbon. We'll talk to him in 2 short minutes.